What if you could learn more about your health in under an hour? The Pronuvo Whole Body Scan gives you a comprehensive look at your health, screening for over 500 conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage one. High-quality imaging, no radiation, no contrast. Book your scan today at Pronuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Pronuvo. Invest in your health today. Visit Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
This is the new Weight Watchers, built for real life and real results, no matter what mode you're in. Maddie went all in for her big day and lost 33 pounds. Emily lost 85 pounds and hit her goal while still living her life.
Weight Watchers gave me the tools and I feel amazing.
Join the millions of members and lose weight with the number one doctor-recommended weight loss program. Lose more at WeightWatchers.com.
At 6 months, participants in a clinical trial of Weight Watchers program lost an average of 12 pounds.
Hello, everyone. You're listening to The Katie Helper Show, and I'm your host, Katie Helper. If you like the show, please leave us a 5-star review on iTunes, and as always, remind you that this show could not happen without the support of our listeners. To support the show, visit patreon.com/thekatiehelpershow, where for just $1 a month, you can help make the show happen. And for $5 a month, you'll qualify for great bonus content, including alternative podcast feed and rarely seen clips that aired on our live shows. Welcome to the Katie Helper Show, which you can see live every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. And we also release clips every day. So excited to be here with you. We have a great show. We got a little serious. We got a little silly. We got some political comedy for all of you. Of course, please do like the stream. That's a way that you can support the show for absolute free. You can hit the like button. Please share. Please subscribe. Press subscribe and then the bell so that you never miss any of these streams. We're at over 190,000 subscribers, so that's great. We're going to get to 200K soon. Also, you can become YouTube members and you can become Patreon supporters at patreon.com/thekatiehelpershow. That's patreon.com/thekatiehelpershow. Most weeks, almost all weeks, we give you extra content if you are a Patreon supporter at the $5 level. This week, for instance, we give you a full extended interview with Cornel West. And if you can't do the $5 level, you can still do the $1 a month level. And that just lets us make the show. We really could not do the show without you. So thank you so much to all the Patreons out there. And thank you for everyone who's tuning in. I'm so excited to be bringing on two guests. One we've had on already, and I'm so excited to bring him back. And that's Matt Lieb, a comedian, podcaster, accidental award-winning journalist, and host of the podcast Matt Has Bara. And we're bringing on Blakely, and they are making their Katie Helper Show debut. They're a songwriter, TikTok content creator, and Michael Rappaport roaster. So welcome.
Hey.
How are you guys?
Good. How are you?
Good.
Doing all right. Happy to be back. Stoked on it. Sorry my hair looks like shit.
That looks great.
Oh, thank you. That's so nice of you.
Sure. I mean, I'm not just saying that to be nice. I think it looks fine.
Yeah, I just ran and picked up my child, and then I got all sweaty and shit. But I'm stoked to be here. This is last time I was on, I had a lot of fun. This is a fun show, and I don't remember if I did this last time, so I'm gonna do it now. Can I plug the comedy show that I'm doing in Sacramento?
Absolutely not. Total fun. Conflict of interest. Yeah, plug away. Oh, that's a reminder. I have to plug mine, too.
Yeah, I'm going to be, if you're in the Sacramento area on March 17th, that's a Sunday at 7 p.m., myself and my wife, Francesca Fiorentini, we're going to be co-headlining the Sacramento Punchline. Please come out. It's a lot of fun. And I would love for, you know, people to celebrate their St. Patty's Day that day.
Oh,
am I
allowed
to swear? I forgot.
Yeah, we try to keep it like, apparently it's bad for the algorithm if it's too early, but I don't think it's okay. It's fucking okay.
All right.
It's so fucking okay.
But
yeah.
if you're ready to have a effing good time with some PG comedy.
Gosh darn it.
Yeah, gosh darn it, buy tickets. I wanted to do that because I forgot to last time.
Cool, all right. Well, I'm glad you're not making the same mistake this time.
Yeah, this time I won't be funny. That's
Okay, good. Yeah, last time you were funny.
I'm going to let Blakely be funny, and I'm just going to sit and watch.
Yeah.
Don't pressure me.
I know. No pressure. Right. And by the way, I got it. I'm going to put a link in here. I'm going to be part of a comedy benefit for Palestine for Doctors Without Borders. And it's going to be catered by Ayat. Very good Palestinian food. Ayat, and they're going to be providing beverages. And you can buy in-person tickets, which are more expensive, or you can buy Zoom tickets. And it's a comedy fundraiser benefiting Doctors Without Borders and the Egyptian Red Crescent. So there's my plug.
That's awesome. When is it?
I forgot that part. It is Friday at 7:30 in Yonkers.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. And Blakely, do you have anything to plug or announce? Besides, I mean, if not, we got your TikTok videos that we're about to show, but...
My health insurance is about to expire.
All right. Set up a GoFundMe for that.
Actually, just to plug my YouTube channel, which I'm still trying to understand how to use, which is just I Am Blakely. It's the same handle as my TikTok. And I'm also just Blakely on Spotify.
Right.
Nice.
So let's see. I thought we could, you know, Matt's show is called Bad Hasbara, and Hasbara means explaining in Hebrew, but it really is kind of shorthand for Israeli propaganda, Israeli Zionist propaganda.
That's right. Western facing usually. So it's like not propaganda for other Israelis, but propaganda for, you know, Europe and Americans.
Yes, exactly. So I thought it'd be great for us to review some propaganda from some Hasbara. And one of the, I don't even know if he's a successful Hasbarist because I don't think he's intelligent enough to really do Hasbara.
Oh, you don't have to be smart to be a successful Hasbarist. In fact, the dumber you are, the more likely you are to have a following.
Oh, okay. So that would make sense. Well, one of my favorite Hasbarists is none other than actor Michael Rapaport. And
actor.
Yeah, actor in quotes. Yeah.
Michael Rapaport.
Yeah. I know. Who is apparently Jewish, which I don't like publicizing that just out of self-interest. But Blakely, you've been doing the Lord's work impersonating Michael Rapaport. Let's start off with, and by the way, we showed a bunch of Matt's videos last time he was on, and we're going to show some more, but we're going to start with Blakely's videos. So let's start off by taking a look at, in order to understand Blakely's takes on takedowns of Michael Rapaport. Unfortunately, it does require seeing the Michael Rapaport video. So let's take a look at, this one is very smart, Michael Rapaport's apartheid video.
All right, I'm in Jerusalem at the Machane Yehuda Market. I'm looking for the apartheid, okay? In Israel, I am looking for the apartheid. I just asked all these people, not one person.
Okay, it's he's saying apartheid. Just want everyone to know that.
Yes, it's apartheid.
Yeah.
Does he think he's saying the word apartment? Like, I don't think he's just pointing at apartments and asking where the apartheid is.
I also love that there's no people. Right. Like, it's just a building.
Yeah.
They cleared the street. Michael Rapaport is making a video. Everyone, get in your home, especially the Arabs.
Yeah.
Is able to tell me where the apartheid is. So I'm asking you on this platform, since you're so smart, to tell me where I can go to actually witness the apartheid. You guys know where the apartheid is? No idea. No one knows where the apartheid is, but I'm sure you can tell me. Let me know where the apartheid in Israel is.
Okay. So let's...
Walking around occupied Jerusalem.
I know. Does he not know how it works at all? Does he think it's like on every block there's a separation? Like half the block...
It's his first time there.
Yeah, 100%. This is for those of you who don't know. I can't say this for a fact, but it very much seems to me like Michael Rapaport is in his first time, like birthright era right now. Yes. I saw a tweet from him a few days ago where he said, I got bar mitzvahed, finally.
I saw that at 50-something, right?
Yeah, like 53, which, come on, who are you kidding? Yeah. 63.
Yeah.
But also, like, to me, I was just like, oh, this all makes perfect sense. If October 7th had happened when I was thinking about going to Israel, on Birthright, who knows what kind of fucking douchebag I'd be.
Right. Yeah, you true. Know? And someone wrote in the comments that he thinks it's a person. Apartheid. Yeah. It does sound like he's looking for a person in apartheid.
Looking for someone, as I say often about him, everywhere except for at the camera.
Yeah, that's not, yeah, that's an interesting technique. Yeah.
His eyes are always like wandering elsewhere.
Well, so let's let you show your own interpretation of Michael Rappaport. Let's take a look at this video that was inspired by Michael's apartheid video. Let's take a look at this Blakely video.
I'm on the Upper East Side, and I keep asking people, where is the apartheid? Where is the fucking income inequality? I haven't seen a single fucking project here on the Upper East Side. I need to get back into the middle of the road and look somewhere else that's not the camera. Listen, you fucks. The only thing I fucking see is older ladies with Hermes scarves up here. Where's the apartheid? It's like when you fucks say that there is police brutality. Really? Because I was just walking by a fucking precinct and saw a black cop. You want to say there's police brutality? Show me. Just like you fucks want to say that there's apartheid. Well, I'm here. I'm here on the Upper East Side, you fuck. Show me where it is. I haven't seen a single poor black up here or any black people at all. I refuse to leave fucking Tel Aviv, but I need you to show me where the apartheid is, you fucks. I was helping a fucking settler move into a house he stole in the occupied West Bank, and the Palestinian family that were fucking in there didn't even try to fight the armed IOF moving their shit out, okay? Now, if you'll fucking excuse me, I'm gonna go have a Palestinian child for lunch.
So good. So good.
He's deranged.
Yeah. And he's been responding to those videos that you've been making, huh?
Yes. Like, can't stop, won't stop. Like, one day he just kept responding. And what's really funny is when it comes to the Zionists, every accusation is a confession. Right. Mm-hmm. Every accusation. So. And another thing that they do, which I just want to mention, that it's the same shit. It's like they have a playbook they just repeat over and over again. They love to go, oh, yeah, have you tried being queer in Gaza? Mm-hmm. They really think that they're nailing it every time. They always think, oh, I'll get you a plane. He said to me, I'll get you a plane ticket to Ramallah. And see, but he was calling it Ramallah, which I don't understand why, if you're pretending to be indigenous to the land, Lamal. Like, why you're calling it Pamela Ramallah? Like,
right.
I'll tell you, Ramalama ding-dong tickets.
Yeah, I was like, wait a second. I don't think they say it like that.
And I'm also, not an expert. I'm sorry, fly into where now? Do you think there's an airport there?
Right, exactly.
Do you think they control the airspace?
Is there an airport in Ramallah is the question. And then he's like, and then he keeps calling me a bitch. And what? He's like...
Oh my
Jesus
God.
Christ.
He's like so bad at being, what I appreciate about him though, he and his friend Lee Kern, we'll get to shortly. They're both like, they don't even pretend to be liberal or open-minded. Like there's a very dangerous streak of like touchy-feely Zionism that pretends to be all accepting and like rainbow Zionism, and there's pinkwashing and there's, you know, that phenomenon of pet progressive except on Palestine. But what's nice about him is that he's such a brute. Like he's so vulgar and obnoxious and I don't even know what the right word for him is. He's just a douchebag. That's exactly what he is. He's just a douchebag, and it's nice to see the mask off sometimes as opposed to this polished West, as you were saying, kind of like the more vanilla and streamlined and shiny Zionism.
Well, for sure, but he lives in a very special like niche in terms of like Hezbollah, because he has the like affectation of like a straight right-wing genocidal Zionist, and those, you know, they'll just say out loud all of the awful shit that they want to do, but he's still like couches it in liberal Zionism. So, you know, be like, hey, you fucking bitch, why don't you go to Gaza and get raped? But it's like, wait, hold on. It sounds, first of all, you sound like someone who's pro-rape based on language alone. Yeah. And then also it's like, you know, he'll talk about, you know, like you said, gay people, you know, being executed and stuff, while at the same time having completely no knowledge of basically anything. I just looked it up just to be sure. Yeah, there are no airports in any of the occupied territories. Like, the fact that he's like, well, he's like, oh, I'll buy you a ticket to Ramadingdong. It's like, bro, could you Google and find out. There's the apartheid. Found right. it.
Yeah. And right. as I was saying, like, every accusation is a confession. To me, what this has revealed to me is that a lot of these so-called liberal Zionists are just transphobes and bigots.
Yeah.
And they kind of project their fantasies of what they want to see happen to us. Mm-hmm. Onto us.
100%.
They'll try to get me with the, did you know that, like, they have pride in Israel and this and this and that, and they would throw you off a roof in Gaza, you dumb fucking queer whore.
Yeah. Right. I hope yeah, it
you're
happens.
An ally. They're yeah. allies. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, wait.
I think it's so funny that the idea that, and I've heard this so many times from people, like, how could you be a queer for Palestine or... Mm-hmm. They would throw you off of rooftops. It's like, so your solution is to bomb those people. Yeah, like, yeah. You think that LGBTQ people who you claim to be acting in solidarity with, or who you claim to be in that community, do you think they have special, like some kind of magic powers where they can withstand bombs? Like, it just kills the straight people? Like,
no.
Like, walk me through how this is good allyship.
No, it's because their solution to microaggressions is macroaggressions.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
Their entire thing is like all of these like liberal BuzzFeed 2015 like talking points about like imposter syndrome and shit like that, and just grafting it onto like a Palestinian baby and just being like, hey, you know what? Better it dies than be a bigot. And you're right. Like, I think you might be a bigot.
Right.
That sounds like something a bigot would say.
Yeah, you may be. Yeah.
Right. And like, they don't even hear themselves or realize that they're actually saying a ton of transphobic shit.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I get it all the time that they're couching in being liberal Zionists who are, quote unquote, trying to protect gay people and and people in the LGBTQ plus community. Yeah. I'm like, you're just... And Michael Rappaport does it all the time. He was tweeting that shit at me over and over and over again. And... This
he was offering to pay your way to
to an airport that doesn't exist.
To an airport in Ramallah that doesn't exist, in order so that I guess I can get stoned or something. Because he said I've got to wear like a Queers for Palestine shirt,
mm-hmm.
In the hopes that, and then you know they always go into these fantasies about how I'm going to get raped by Hamas or like some other fantasy. When I'm like, bro, if I actually were to go to Israel, let's just say. I would be afraid of getting killed by an IOF soldier.
Yeah.
That's who I would be afraid of being killed by.
That's who does the majority of killing in the occupied territories. And also, I think it's like the perfect like encapsulation of like the Zionist like colonial thinking in terms of their superiority as like a culture and as a people is to outsource the atrocity that you want done to an imaginary figure that you just assume every Arab is, to just be like, you know what happened if you go, it's like the same people say, you know, oh yeah, why don't you go down the street in Compton and then you get robbed and killed and raped, and it's just like, so you're just, do you just think that like there are no mailmen, fucking cab drive, like there are people in all these neighborhoods that exist. There are people in the occupied West Bank who exist in peace most of the time, unless they are being fucking harassed and murdered and detained and killed by IOF soldiers. So it's like they just, it just shows, it's an insight into their racism that they would just automatically assume that wherever you go as a queer person or as a trans person in the West Bank or in Gaza, you would just get killed by, you know, because of Arabs.
It's their racism. It's also their rage, their white supremacist rage.
100%.
At the idea that they get, like, the white backlash or the white supremacist backlash that people get when they feel that someone who looks like me should be on their side.
Yeah.
100%. And when I'm not,
right,
they're enraged. And all of a sudden, people who supposedly were like, oh, we're an LGBTQ ally, are sending me messages describing my rape.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I love gay people so much that I want to give them a graphic, detailed version of their execution.
Be raped and killed. Yeah, and I also like
not
to
by me. Not, I'm right, cool. Right. I'm nice.
I wouldn't do it.
I would never do that. But boy, let me just detail.
Let me tell
the
you
shit
about them Arabs.
Yeah, let me tell you about them because oh god, it just makes me hot just thinking about. It. But hot with rage because I don't like it.
Next week, I'm having on Dean Spade, who does amazing organizing, trans activist, and also Kadir Shafi, who is a queer Palestinian writer and activist. And they're going to be talking, responding to all this pink washing. And we actually have a video we may get to, a horrible Hasbara video we may get to that does quite a bit of pink washing. But I wanted to, sorry to subject you guys to more Michael Rapaport, but let's... Let's take a look at another Michael Rapaport video and then Blakely's response to that. And this is the FU video.
Other people, if you do not like Jews, f*** you. If you don't like Israel, f*** you. If you don't take 60 seconds to look up what a Zionist is, f*** you. You say genocide, I say f*** you. You say apartheid, I say f*** you. You say occupation, I say f*** you, you dumb f***. You don't shake our hands at basketball games, f*** you. You don't want us on campus? F*** you. Leave, scumbag. You don't want us to exist? F*** you. You do not want Jews in Israel to defend ourselves? F*** you. You have a problem with Jews because we're Jews? F*** you. October 7th didn't happen. When you saw the videotape...
Okay, they're not October denialists. They aren't like October 7 truthers. No one's saying it didn't happen. What is he like? I like how earnest he is. That it almost feel I almost feel bad like making fun of him because it really does feel like you're making fun of someone who can't intellectually, like, cognitively defend themselves.
I know, but, like, it's like making
really
fun of Simple Sam.
That people think he really seems to think that people don't believe October 7th happened. Like. There is Holocaust denial, but I have not encountered any October 7th denial.
Yeah, I mean, the entire narrative around October 7th denial is like completely fabricated because I have yet to see anybody be like, no, nah, man, that was all AI.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
yeah.
It's like, no, we know it happened. The question is how many civilians were killed versus how many soldiers were killed? And also how did all those fires break out?
Right.
And you know,
also, like, the claims where, you know, they're using mass rape as a reason and a justification for the continued slaughter of people in Gaza.
Right.
Asking for evidence of certain claims, not saying October 7th didn't happen, but asking for evidence of certain claim is not October 7th denialism. He's so embarrassing.
He really is.
I don't even know what his neighbor thought. He's just screaming into the camera.
Where is he?
Tel Aviv,
I guess. Let's throw the mic back at him. Sorry, it's almost over.
And you saw what everything that happened on October 7th? F*** you. Matter of fact, f*** you.
I like that. That additional matter of fact, fuck you. That's comedic genius there.
Yeah, he had a punchline.
Yeah, he had a punchline.
Nice
tag.
I find his videos really funny because he's such a fucking moron. Yeah. He has so much confidence in his stupidity.
Yes.
I also love that he sings it. It's a song. Fuck you.
Yeah, yeah. It's a very Soldier Boy.
Yeah, it is. Well, Blakely, you did a response to that video, so let's take a look.
You. You say genocide, I say fuck you, fuck Blue's Clues. Listen, you fuck. For those of you who look at what is actually happening and call it what it is, I've got a message for you. Fuck you. You took the time to look up what it meant to be a Zio, the project that we're actually trying to carry out. Fuck you, I didn't mean it literally. You say apartheid, I say fuck. You say genocide, I say bring back the electric slide. You say occupation, I say what f***ing sector. You don't like the IOF looting the f***ing houses after they bomb them and stealing their wives' shoes? F*** you, my wife wears an 8.5, it'll fit her perfectly. You don't want to watch my B-rate Hulu show? F*** you. You say freedom of speech on campus, I say f***
You snowflake! Wait, you don't like pasty strawberry blonde New Yorkers that turn bright red in the f***ing sun, claiming indigeneity to the region? You! You called out Anat Schwartz and her New York Times fake atrocity propaganda? You! You want proof of anything? You! It's classified. Don't mind my beautiful f***ing beachfront property. I am very oppressed. I'm Israel Chai.
I'm Israel Chai.
So good. Yeah.
He, first of all, he responded, he reposted that video on Twitter and nice. Said, and said something like, first of all, he called me a slut in one of them, which I just find amazing that he keeps calling me a whore.
What is wrong with him? Like, he doesn't even know how to be a good.
Yeah. It's like, what, bro, why, like, give up the ghost already with the liberal shit. Just be a
just
psychopath.
Here, right,
at least it's honest. Just be honest about it.
And then he said he started ripping apart, trying to rip apart my appearance, which, by the way, I really love, because I'm like, this motherfucker looks like a shaved anus. Yeah. Like, literally.
Where's the lie? Yeah.
And then he's like, I guess you're like slutting around or dancing for your TikTok money. Because apparently he is a boomer and doesn't understand that we were on Twitter when this was happening.
Right.
So he thought it was TikTok. And then he's like, for your tips, for your lip filler. I guess you use some of your money to get lip filler. I was like, first of all, you should not be making fun of how anyone looks, Playboy.
I know. Like, how do you leave yourself open to
I
that?
I know. It hurts me more than it hurts him, honestly.
Yeah. you're just a giant freckle blemish. Like, his whole body is just herpes simplex 1.
100%. It's also transphobic because he knows that I'm non-binary because he's made comments about being a queer going to Gaza multiple times.
Right.
So by continuing to say that I'm a slut and by saying that I'm dancing for tips, it is like misogyny and transphobia together.
Right.
And then on top of that, bringing up like, oh, you got money for lip. First of all, Playboy, you could use some lip filler.
I know. Okay? That's why I'm like, why is he saying this? I just don't understand it. I'm almost moved by his self-confidence. It's like, it's like almost delusional. Like it's a kid who, it's like an after-school special I'm almost moved that he has the delusional self-confidence to think about commenting on other people's looks.
Yes. And also, like, it's funny because he does have that delusional self-confidence. Like, for me, if I'm going to be making fun of someone, I have to set aside my insecurities because you can't let yourself go and be in a moment like that if you're self-conscious about how you look.
Right.
But when I saw that, I was like, no, son, you are not making fun of my appearance. Yeah. You are not making fun of anybody's appearance.
Oh, wow. Who wore it better? Who wore it better, Michael Rappaport or an actual potato?
Yes. No, he actually does look like a potato. Somebody said that on my Instagram and they were like, and I feel bad for making fun of his appearance. I was like, look, guys, this is my role when it comes to making fun of people, okay? I don't punch down. So if somebody is, unless they are cruel first. So if somebody is hideously ugly and like Michael Rappaport is,
right.
And I would not generally make fun of their appearance, but if he's going to go low and start mocking my appearance or mocking other people's appearances or shitting on marginalized groups, well then, bitch, you are opening yourself up to be criticized for the potato that you are. Okay. Right. If you're going to act
like
that.
Potato phobia. It's
no,
it's actual, I don't mean to potato victim blame, but
yeah, no, of course.
He brought it upon himself. Like you, if he was just being the disgusting, racist, transphobic, rape fan that he is, you would call him all those things and make fun of him, but you wouldn't say you look like a potato. It's because he talks about your looks that then you're justified, I think, to call him a potato.
Exactly. Also, okay, so he had reposted that video and somebody posted on his own page, you really shouldn't be harassing people. And he posted a screenshot of him getting charged or not. I don't know if it was charged, but
Lily Taylor got a restraining order against him. Some kind of order against him. Yeah.
Yeah. For harassing her. I guess he was harassing his ex-girlfriend.
Yeah.
And then he thought, because again, it's the delusional confidence for me. He thought that he really nailed it by responding to that person.
With a previous crime?
Yeah. For the harassing his ex-girlfriend, he wrote, we had a great time.
Yeah. What? Or like, we had a great relationship or something.
He's
yeah.
like, we had a great time. What?
Like,
excuse me, bitch?
Yeah.
Are you really writing that?
Wait, what was his point there?
I guess that they had he had a great time with the ex-girlfriend that has a restraining order against him.
It sounds like a veiled threat a little bit. Like, oh, I don't give a fuck. I will cross legal boundaries to call someone a slut.
Like what? Yeah, I can't believe that after someone called him out for having an ex-girlfriend, like get some kind of order against him, that he didn't just shut up.
Yeah, yeah,
well, why would you respond to that?
And then you have motherfuckers like Noah Tishby doing propaganda with him. Like, he's been fully employed.
Oh, okay? Yeah.
Totally.
I am convinced that none of these people would have a job if it weren't for the lobby. Because how they're getting on shows and shit when they're not funny and they're fucking hacks. I am convinced that they're just all being paid by the Israeli lobby, which is how he's all of a sudden everywhere. Okay.
Right.
I literally didn't even know who he was. Like a year ago, my sisters had to tell me he was in like some movie from the 90s.
Someone posted
it's called
the other
Deep
day.
Blue Sea, and it's amazing. What if Shark Big?
He was in Copland, right?
Yeah, he was in Copland.
I saw someone tweet the other day. They're like, Copland's my favorite movie because Michael Rapaport kills himself in it.
He was in, you know him for, like, as the actor most likely to be cast as racist Boston man.
Right. Yeah.
You know, he was in, he played a skinhead in the Basketball Diaries. He was in
That's why he has so many issues about his Jewish identity.
Dude, and this is the annoying.
He knows he can play a skinhead.
But this is how much I didn't know who this loser was. I love the Basketball Diaries. I've seen that movie a million times. I didn't even know he was in that. I thought that was Mark Wahlberg. Same accent, same racist history.
Well, that's the thing about, like, him, and I swear to God, this rash of fucking super Zionist celebrity comedians and actors. Celebrity comedians and actors. Who have all been on this tear since October 7th of just yelling at people. And they're all the same. They're all blonde-haired, blue-eyed, Goisha fucking, like, appearance. And they all are just like, as a Jew. And then it blows my fucking mind.
Which are the same people who scream at anti-Zionist Jewish people and say they're fake Jews.
Or call us, their famous thing is calling us as a Jews.
Right.
As if that's like something we say constantly. All these people had to be told these people were Jewish. I didn't know Rappaport was Jewish till he screamed it at me.
I didn't either. I thought he was like, I don't know, Irish? Like Irish Italian, New Yorker. Yeah.
I thought he was ethnically racist. Yeah.
That's why he is,
but a different kind. Yeah.
It's like people like Amy Schumer who are just, or like Eliza Schlesinger who are just like, will you hide me? Like, bitch, no one knows.
Oh my God,
Jewish.
That's amazing. Yeah.
I will not hide you. I will block you.
Right.
I'll block you on social media.
I thought, oh my gosh, when I made my video trolling, making fun of Mayim Bialik, I thought she said it. So I said, would you hide me in that video? Because I thought it was her.
No, they all say it. It was like a thing they were trying. There was a few failed social media campaigns that happened.
Right. Yes.
And one of them was, would you hide me?
Right, there was just, was so oh, it was.
Which is amazing to me because these are the same motherfuckers that will like tear apart anti-Zionist Jews and say self-hating Jew, attack Norman Finkelstein, and then they'll turn around and go, well, you can't say real Jew, but I'm a real Jew and you're not. Like,
to them, Zionism, belief in Zionism and being a Zionist is what makes you Jewish
Jewish. Anti-Semitic.
Which is completely irony.
Exactly. That's what's so sad. I'm like, please stop perpetuating the dual loyalty myth. Please stop. You are the worst. You and Israel and the ADL and AIPAC are very anti-Semitic, actually.
And which I don't remember who I was arguing with, like in a live or something, but like they were saying, like, I had no right to talk about this. I had no right to have an opinion on what's going on.
Because
I'm neither
Jewish
nor Palestinian. And then they started going off about like how you needed to be supportive of Israel if you were a real Jew. I'm like, that is unironically anti-Semitic.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, I wanted to play. So you mentioned singing, that he sings, and there actually is a video of him singing. Brad, do we have the singing one?
Fuck
yeah,
you.
It's Michael Rapaport's song.
You guys, if I had the...
Sorry. No, say it.
I was just going to say, whenever I mostly record songs, I have to record them with producers because I'm not tech savvy. Mm. But if I had the capabilities, you don't even know how many songs I would make. I would take Michael Rapaport's Fuck You and I would put it into song.
Yeah. That would be great. Well, we can talk about that after the show. Okay, let's take a look at this thing that he recorded with Aviva Kompla, who was like,
oh,
this
God,
major,
Klompy.
She's the worst, Klompy. Yeah, she's absolutely the worst. She's always just like tweeting out. She's like, look at this face. Can you believe it? It's like a hostage or something. It's like, okay, that is sad. But like, why don't you then negotiate for that person's release instead of bombing the building which is what you're advocating for?
Trying to drown everyone in the tunnel, including this picture of a baby you keep putting in.
Exactly.
She does the same thing as Eve Fartlow.
Yeah,
the worst. So let's take a look at this. I can't believe he actually recorded this, but let's take a look at this song.
Palestine. From fucking Hamas.
Free Palestine.
From fucking Hamas.
Stop fucking with Jews.
Leave Israel alone. Come out in war. You little fucking bitch.
Make it stop.
I mean, why would he act? That's the type of thing you record it, then you watch it and you delete it right away. Like,
right.
Again, it's that confident that he actually thinks it's a good thing to release that. It's not funny. He doesn't have a good voice. Like, what does he think he's contributing?
It didn't even rhyme.
He's actually helping the anti-Zionist cause because he's so terrible that every time he opens his mouth, we win a little bit.
You're literally right, Katie, because I feel like he actually does. Because it's like, that wasn't funny. It didn't even rhyme. Do you think if you just throw fuck in into everything, that's going to make it interesting? I wish I had that delusional confidence ways, you know? It's like you get self-conscious, you're kind of unsure about things, but it's like, if I had that kind of delusional confidence, I would probably be making a lot more money in a different stage of my life than I am.
That's what, you know, you should work on having that sort of shamelessness. Then you too could someday play white person who says the N-word with the hard R in a movie someday.
Yeah.
Also, the projection of the money, because there are actually firms that will pay influencers, pay content creators to make pro-Israeli propaganda to disseminate all over the internet, and they're paying a lot for it.
But I feel like with him, I'd like pay him not to do that. I'd pay him to stay quiet. I'd be like, we saw your video. Here's $100 to never do that again.
No, I think he's doing a service, man, because it's like there's a level of like dumbassery that I think needs to be pointed out when it comes to, like, because no one is changing their opinion and no one is saying good point who didn't already believe that Palestinians aren't people. You know what I mean? Like, he's not doing anything like clever or like positive for the Zionist cause. So I'm kind of like, go for it, man. Have fun.
I think he's harming it, honestly.
Yeah. Go on fucking, Israel SNL and do the same three jokes. They're so like conservatives in that they have like three jokes. They have gay people.
My pronouns are that
my
joke.
They have my pronouns jokes and, gay people will get killed by Arabs. You know, it's like just those over and over again. And, you know, college kids are gay, huh?
Right.
That's their one joke.
Yeah.
Well, it literally is every time. I think I told you guys this, or I've told some people this. I got doxxed by someone who works for the Israeli embassy. Okay?
Oh, shit.
Insanity.
Wow. Mazel tov.
And he actually wrote, pronouns were, was about me.
Such a god. That's really terrible.
Yeah.
And I was like,
who is this person?
Oh, I forget his name. I could find it. It's on my Twitter. I retweeted it over and over and over again because I couldn't believe what a psycho he was.
Yeah.
And he was bragging about working for the Israeli embassy after somebody had outed him, because they were like, you dox them, like, we're not going to dox you, but this is where this guy works. And he was like proud of it.
Yeah. No, their whole thing is being proud of being monsters. I mean, you know, that's they have a completely inverted worldview that allows them to act monstrously, because they believe at the end of the day that they are the ultimate victims and the oppressed. So so they will proudly stand, you know, up for their right to be genocidal maniacs. They don't care.
Well, so it's not just terrible songs that he does. He actually puts production into this.
Not so much him putting production as like the state of Israel paying him.
Yeah, exactly.
To make the worst content in the world.
I tweeted out, someone tweeted out a video of Hillary Clinton making comments about mass rape on October 7th. And I quote tweeted it and said, more women have accused your husband of rape than they've accused Hamas of rape. And he jumped in the comments and just put a link to this very interesting parody video. Let's take a look.
All right, everybody knows that sports is really about the wings. Buffalo wings, spicy wings, hot wings. So I got some folks here. We're going to try some fantastic wings with. Who are you guys?
I'm Dylan. I'm from University of PC. Go home bags.
All right. Who are you?
Hi, I'm Margaret, and I'm a housewife and mother to four angels.
Well, I cannot wait for you guys to try some of these wings. Let's get into it.
God, this is such a long way to go for this joke.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Mm. That's right, because these are new Hamas hot wings, 100% pure shit. How do they taste?
Like shit.
Ah, that's right, because everything Hamas has been feeding you is shit, and these wings are 100% pure grass-fed Hamas shit.
Is this like actual shit that I'm eating?
Yes, that is actual shit you are eating. No, don't stop now. You've been eating that Hamas shit for so long. And while you've been eating that shit, civilians are still in captivity. There is no excuse for raping, kidnapping, and murdering. Hamas is full of shit. And anybody who tells you otherwise is also full of shit. Listen, if you want some Hamas shit, go on social media, go to a rally. It's everywhere. Try it. You can use as much as you want, from the river to the sea. Now go ahead, wipe that Hamas shit off your mouth. Don't touch my napkin.
So
Hamas is full of shit. Don't swallow it.
Written by who?
Yeah. All
right. Written by Lee Kern.
Oh my gosh, look at all the people involved in this.
You guys, that takes a lot of talent and a lot of coordination. You think you wake up one morning and decide to do that? No, that takes months.
Why is there a 35-person crew sketch where it's one joke and it's
one joke and it's terrible.
Bullshit.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I didn't even realize that till at the very end. You guys saw all the people.
Who puts credits at the end of a video?
That was the whole production.
Again, it's that delusional self-confidence where you actually think people want their names on it. If I had done that, I'd be like, I'll do this on one condition. You don't put my name in the credits.
I love needing your name in the credits. That is bullshit video. Beautiful.
Well, let's take a look at this, the writer of this guy, Lee Kern, who wrote the screenplay to Borat 2. And he
one of about nine different people who are credited.
One of the crew, yeah.
Yes.
And he, like Michael, he has an equally openly bigoted and racist worldview.
Yes.
That is a little bit weird. There's something like he looks too young for it. Not that he looks young, but he's like, I can't explain it though. His bigotry is like, it's presented in a way that older people usually do it.
Right.
Bigotry beyond his years.
As he's British, I guess. Yeah. Let's take a look at Lee Kern.
Hey, so the Arab and Muslim world thinks that if they just constantly harass Israel and commit awful crimes, get Israel now and then, and just act like fucking dicks and do October the 7th and fire rockets and just be like generally fucking knobbins, right? The Arab and Muslim world just think if they just keep doing it and keep doing it, that we'll somehow get fatigued and walk away and leave Israel and that be done, then they can come in. you know, create some Islamic State crap hole, theocratic shithole. They think that's what's going to happen.
Is that what I think?
Do you dicks even understand the Jewish story? Do you understand? You think we're going to run out of endurance and stamina? Do you understand that 2000...
By the way, all the, like, sexual, social, psychosexual projection is pretty clear in that run out of endurance and stamina. Like, you need to work on your issues, and then maybe your worldview of politics would be clearer.
But also, what is just his argument, too, where he's just like, you think that Jews just going to go away? You think they're going to leave? And it's like, yeah, man, the history of Jews is that we get kicked out of places.
It's pogrom heavy. Yeah. We kind of leaned into the pogrom.
Yeah, I don't even know what history you're talking about here. Yeah. You're just talking about That's Israel really right now. Yeah. Another place, apparently, we were also kicked out of. Isn't that the whole premise of the coming back? What are you talking about?
In really our indigenous home of Israel, the Romans... kicked the majority of us out, while some remained, but the majority of Jews went into...
Wait, yeah, you just said that we never leave. Yeah. Okay, and now you're going to go through the history
you
of all
you
the
can just kick us out? Yeah, you can, but not but we'll for long. Only a few thousand years.
2,000 years ago, yeah?
Yeah.
And do you understand for 2,000 years the Jewish people maintained all their rituals, customs, traditions, and identity and connection to Israel, which is absolutely fused with every aspect of Jewish identity and peoplehood from the prayers that
the modern state of Israel is not fused with the identity of Judaism from before the modern state of Israel existed.
To the Hebrew language, to the calendar.
Hebrew language is modern Hebrew.
It was made up.
2,000 years we had endurance to maintain who we are with connection to the land that we were dispossessed on. 2,000 years. And so you think just because you come and act like a bunch of little pricks firing rockets or being cockends now and then, just trying to murder and kill things, you think you're going to wear us out and we'll run out of something?
Well, certainly, you have worse allegations.
A couple of decades of this crap.
Worse allegations, and it's like you're a bunch of dickheads, a bunch of bell ends. Okay. It's like, wait, you're not genociding people because they're bell ends, are you?
Yeah, right.
Just no pack bins. It in and walk away and let these cunts take over this land. It's not going to happen. You don't understand Jews at all. It's so amazing. It's absolutely astonishing how much so many Muslims and Arabs have no idea about the Jewish soul or character or identity or who we are. You really are clueless.
This is
deranged. Astonishing.
It is.
And you think you do. You keep...
Please stop presenting the Zionist soul, by the way. Like, I don't want anyone to think that that's the Jewish soul.
Well, see,
like,
this
what
is...
what Israel is doing,
yes.
Please dissociate that from Jewishness.
And like, I'm sorry, but this right here is a perfect example of just the disdain that Zionists have for Jews and Jewish history and the history of Jews in the diaspora.
Right.
Is
right.
that, like... This he's saying like you don't understand Jews. What he means is like you don't understand Zionists.
Exactly.
Like
like
Jews
Zionists
have been kicked out. We've been kicked out of fucking everywhere.
Yeah. Zionists. There's like a whole the whole tradition of anti-Zionist Jewry.
Yes.
Like lots of Jews didn't want Zionism for various reasons.
Right. Because kicking us out
is and then you have like Orthodox Jews who, for very different reasons, sometimes overlapping reasons, but oppose the state of Israel.
Yes, yes. And it's just like this idea where he's like talking about this Jewish history of like never backing down and whatnot. It just shows this disdain. It frames the mass expulsion of Jews throughout Europe and throughout, you know, the world as weakness. It frames it as something to be ashamed of.
Right.
And that's the whole Zionist thing, is this idea of like these disgusting diaspora Jews who are willing to live in a place where they are the minority as opposed to like colonizing place and making
and becoming a demographic majority artificially. Yeah. Because there were Jews living there and there was relative harmony. And the problem was when they wanted to become a demographic majority, which people didn't want to have happened because they didn't want their rights to be trampled on, which is exactly what happened.
But yeah, and facilitated by Brits like him.
Yeah,
these
exactly.
Fucking British people. Fucking,
be nasty fucking dicks to us and bully us that you're so... I mean, you don't know us. It's amazing. It's the same way that you're always just online trying to tell people who and what we are. You're clueless. You're trying to say what Zionism is and blah, blah, blah. It really is astonishing.
They live it, you fucking asshole. They know, Palestinians know what Zionism is because their lives are shaped by it.
Yeah.
Like, who are you? You don't know. You live in England. I mean, you know because you're an ideologue, but you don't experience this.
Yes.
Your confidence to be as stupid as you are.
You know what, buddy? You do.
Yeah, you do.
That's so much confidence.
You do.
Confidence being stupid in my life. I would do astonishing things. But I muddle on. I do the best I can. We carry on. We endure for 2,000 years. We can go a little bit longer. So keep it coming, you fucking pricks, you mugwump twats. God bless, Baruch Hashem.
He looks like such a serial killer.
Dude, the motherfucker looks like a Benjamin Button-ass baby. He's aging fucking backwards. Yeah, he's got the brains of a child. And he's just like taking his little worm face and being like, I think I'm going to be the face of British Zionism. Yeah.
Fucking guy. We actually have another video of Lee Kern. Let's take a look at this other video, Brad. Wink, wink. Lee Kern video.
Borat too, yeah. Or realise something.
That's Matt, everyone. That's
the most racist society I've ever seen, yeah. All right, so first of all Palestinians are racist. All of them. It's in their blood, see? It's inside their blood. It's in their bones. Everything that they think and do is racist, yeah. It's in their DNA, deep down inside their DNA, right? They are inherently anti-Semitic. They say, oh, in Israel, the Jews run the banks. The Jews run the media. The Jews run the government. I've never heard something so racist, innit? They think they have a right to the land, yeah? They think because they used to live here a long time ago, they think that they could just come back. They want a right of return for all the people in the diaspora to come back to the land, yeah? I've never heard something so crazy. People from America, from Great Britain, all of a sudden living in the Middle East. Just completely ridiculous, yeah? The David Beckham fish and chips. I can't think of something so ridiculous. We got to take out Hamas. We got to take them out because they do not value civilian life. They don't value nothing, you see. They don't see a difference between a combatant and a civilian. And that's absolutely horrible. That's why we have to take out Hamas. Who's Hamas? Every man, woman, and child inside of Gaza. That's right. All of them together.
That's so, like, that point is so true that we value life. We Jews value life, and Muslims and Palestinians don't. They don't value life. They're obsessed with death. And we're enlightened and liberal and open-minded and care about civilians, which is why we have to kill all of them.
Yeah.
Including every woman and child, because they're going to grow up to be terrorists. And that's why we are enlightened and they are backwards, death-obsessed in a death cult.
It's one of the reasons why, you know, when they talk about like dismantling Hamas, killing Hamas and whatnot, you just know that Hamas is this nebulous thing within you know, the kind of Zionist psyche where, like, there are people who are in Hamas, of course. But you ask just any Zionist about, like, you see, show them an image of a dead Palestinian in Gaza, and they will say, all Israel has to do is tell me that's Hamas, and I will feel nothing.
Right.
It's like it allows them, it gives them the, you know, the permission to be completely heartless and genocidal, because you have created this entire image in your head of like Gaza as a place that's all Hamas because they voted for them, right? You know,
right. Yeah.
2006.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, you have like Alan Dershowitz saying that they voted for them.
Yeah.
So they all deserve to die. It's like there were, first of all, there shouldn't be the death penalty for voting a certain way.
Yeah, no, crazy. That's like literally what the whole thing about like secular democracy and stuff
exactly,
like that.
Right,
is
right.
Like you're allowed to vote for who the fuck you want.
But also half of them, like it wasn't even, this doesn't even matter, but just to concede this ridiculous argument, it was like not a huge majority that they got.
40%.
And there were kids and people who didn't vote. I mean, just like the fact that we've been saying this is just so ludicrous.
Yeah, it's a ridiculous argument. And, you know, and it's like, and if you're going to make it, you have to also reckon with the fact that there was one election in 2006 and the majority of the people in Gaza were not alive
right.
when the election happened.
And you have to be okay with the fact that if you would have to be okay with people saying that maybe half of Americans should get killed
right,
for voting
exactly.
for Trump.
Right. Right. Like, or for Netanyahu.
Yes.
Maybe half Israel. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's the most savage, pseudo liberal, enlightened shit.
They can never put it on the other foot. That's what drives me insane. Like, how can you not put the shoe on the other foot? So, should we blow up all of Texas?
Mm-hmm.
Because Texas voted for Trump and Ken Paxton?
Right. It's why, like, and it's so funny because I see it a lot.
Are all Israelis responsible for every single death that
happened?
Because that's what they say.
Right.
There are no innocent civilians in Gaza.
Exactly.
Yeah,
and
by that logic, there's no one.
More of them are actually in the military. So if you want to play that game, it's not going to end well.
Why do you say that too? Because they'll be like, oh, well, because of this and this and because of Hamas and October 7th. I'm like, okay, but if you want to play that game, you could say that October 7th was a response.
Of course.
What Israel has been doing to the Palestinians.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right.
And I mean, you know, Hamas has served as the perfect excuse to allow. What would I think otherwise be a little bit more conscientious people, a little bit more moral people, to completely drop any pretense of being like moral or just because it's that's the whole reason for their existence. Like you ask people about like, you know, the blockade that happened, the siege of Gaza that's been going on for 17 years. That happened after Hamas won an election, which observers said was free and fair, whether or not that's true.
Jimmy Carter did,
Yeah, but it was an actual election. And then Israel and the United States did not accept the election results. They tried to concoct a they tried to do a Fatah-led coup. The coup attempt failed. And they have done a siege ever since. Like, the siege of Gaza is justified by, well, Hamas bad. This entire thing is justified based on a premise that in a democracy, you would say, oh, that sounds anti-democratic.
Right.
Like, if your whole thing is we're the only democracy in the Middle East, or we're the only people who are culturally respect democracy, and then you see an election not go your way, and you decide every single voter must die, or must be starved, or must be, you know, trampled under our boots, then clearly you are not as democratic of a people than you purport to be.
You're also not a democracy if you're a Jewish state.
Right.
There's that too. But also, like, they love saying, look, we pulled out of Gaza and look what happened, as if they did that as an act of altruism.
Right.
When
yes.
we actually know that, first of all, they control everything that goes in and out,
mm-hmm.
and there's a siege.
Yes.
But also, they did that. We know this from, like, a top advisor of then President or then Prime Minister Ariel Sharon,
mm-hmm.
who said that the disengagement plan was formaldehyde for the peace process.
100%.
Like, they did that to stop the peace process.
And not only that, but, like, they also used it. It was part of their Hezbollah. Like, one of the biggest... you know, like Hezbollah talking points around this time was around pieces of media of settlers being expelled from their homes. That was a highly choreographed media stunt for Israel and Israeli propaganda to show, like, you know, look at this, and it was to rile up the people inside of Israel, inside the West Bank. And make them be more firm than ever that we are never, ever leaving this. And no, it is not a politically viable position to be like, settlers should leave the occupied territories.
Right.
And, you know, so it's like, you know, the whole premise of Gaza as like a sovereign entity that should have, you know, they could have had, you know, nightclubs and they could have had, you know, people taking,
clubs.
You know, 2CI, you know, getting their dick sucked, like, near the beach.
But if people talk about that, you'll, like, people get fired. And, like, people, like,
lose
their job. And yet all these Zionists and stuff nothing happens to them. If you're an outsider who didn't really know that much about this and you read it, it sounds insane.
Right. Yes.
It sounds insane.
A conspiracy theorist, right?
100%.
Yeah, but also just like crazy as in like, how is this happening? Like, and I'm speaking personally because I was very uneducated about Israel and Palestine as somebody who mostly paid attention to domestic politics, as someone who isn't either Palestinian or Jewish. I really didn't have... I kind of just had what the media had, like a default favorable view of Israel,
right.
Which, by the way, good job, Israel, because now I think you guys are monsters and you've turned me into an anti-Zionist when before I had no opinion.
Yeah. What changed it for you? When and how did this happen?
October 7th.
Really?
Yeah, that's when I started to. But I've been like furiously like, I feel like, guys, that I went to college for it, like since this happened. Not that I'm not saying that like, oh, I'm an expert, but I'm saying the amount of reading that I've done, the amount of books, the amount of podcasts, documentaries, just like looking, it just couldn't like probably for weeks, I did nothing but read, just like mind blown.
That makes me so happy. That makes me so happy.
But like I had, so like as an outsider, not understanding it, I thought I wasn't reading it right. Like as you were just talking about the blockade, when I was first reading about the blockade, how they reacted to Hamas's election and putting the blockade on them, I was like, that's not right. Wait, that's not right. But they said that they disengaged. Wait a sec. Like my mind was being blown over and over and over again. I was like, wait.
So was there something you saw that Israel did that was like a wake up call for you? Because it wasn't, I assume it wasn't October 7th per se, but rather like the response to October 7th.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. No, when October 7th first happened, like straight up, I was like at first believing what Israel was saying. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. And like, too, I really had, as I was going through this process, like having to like deconstruct some of the propaganda I had just been taught about Arabs generally growing up post 9/11. Mm-hmm. And like, basically what I had believed about Israel was Israel good. All the Arabs in Palestine hate them and want to kill them because they're Jewish. Mm-hmm. And because of the fact that like, I always believed, and I understand that like Jews have been historically persecuted. Right. It really, I feel like, kind of blinded me to be able to understand what was happening in Israel, because I feared that if I questioned things, that that would make me anti-Semitic. And I didn't want to be like, I know that Jews are a global minority. I know that Jews have suffered, have been through the Holocaust, have been through pogroms. So I was like, oh, I don't want to like say anything, because if I do, like, that's me being like anti-Jewish. Like, I don't want to be anti-Semitic.
Right.
And so then I started like questioning after Shireen Abu Akleh was killed. I was like, wait a second, this doesn't make any sense. She was an American. She was a journalist. Like, why? And I started like reading about it, but I was very confused. I didn't understand the occupation. I didn't understand like the way that the press worked. And so I was like bothered by it, but I kind of moved on. Right. But it was there in the back of my head. Right. That story was in the back of my head. And then when October 7th happened, at first I was like, oh my gosh, like, did this happen because they were Jews? Like, this is horrible. Like, why would you, like, this is, and then, like, I started actually, like, after probably about a week or two after it happened, I was reading a lot about it, and I started reading, like, Katie, your feed. Like, I was looking at your feed, and I was, like, looking at other people that were, like, questioning it and talking about how, like, that, you know, you shouldn't be attacking, like, Palestinian people, Arab people, like, all this stuff. And I was, like, wait a second. So I first started looking at other Jewish people to see what they were saying about it. And then I found Norman Finkelstein and I started listening to him. And then I found the book, The 100 War on Palestine.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I read the book
that we had on. Yeah.
Yeah. And then I read the book and it was just like going down a rabbit hole of like understanding. And I never, to be clear, I never thought that like all Palestinians were like Jew haters or whatever.
Right.
I thought that like Hamas just in general were created because they hated Jews. And that's what the reason why there were rocket attacks on Israel or like, and that's not to say there aren't, you know, like I never thought like, oh, it's all Palestinians or whatever. But I think that growing up in a post 9/11 world where you're constantly told like, Arab people are scary, like over and over and over again. They all want to kill you. They hate us because they hate us. They hate us because of our freedom.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you hear they're attacking Israel. They're attacking Israel. it's like I started to have to basically unpack my own unconscious biases and be like, why did I think this?
Right.
And I think it was a combination of that post 9/11 unconscious bias coupled with my genuine care for Jewish people and being afraid that I was sending harm their way.
Right.
By questioning the Netanyahu government, the state of Israel, the premise of the Zionist project. And basically, like, since then, I took, like, I don't know, 2 months and just read, listen to Palestinian people talk, listen to anti-Zionist Jews talk. And it kind of radicalized me. And so as a result, I guess now I am an anti-Semite. And Michael Rapaport hates me and thinks I'm a hoe.
Both things are being called that and being hated by Rapaport are both good signs. I mean, I saw a t-shirt the other day. Someone Jewish was wearing it. It's like, if you haven't been called anti-Semitic yet, you're not fighting hard enough for Palestine.
Yeah.
Which is obviously not saying it's anti-Semitic to do so. It's saying that you're going to be smeared by it. But,
right. Yes. Yes. Right.
But I feel like the thing that was super mind-blowing to me, too, was just the amount of horror that the Palestinians have had to endure.
Yeah.
And the lying. And that's not to say, like our government didn't do that. We didn't do things like that in Afghanistan. We didn't do these atrocities.
Yeah.
But I really feel like the IDF, like what I've seen,
I don't want to downplay what we did, and we did attack a lot of civilian infrastructure, but there was much more effort to not kill civilians. Not sufficient, but much more than we see.
Right. Not only that, but there was also at least more of an effort to cover it up, like to pretend that we were caring about people. Like, I was blown away when I saw the IDF social media. I'm like, how is this real?
Yeah.
How is this real?
Yeah.
Like, not even fronting. Also, another thing that really struck me through learning this whole thing was that I've never been gaslit so much.
Yeah.
And I've never been told that I can't criticize something before. Like, I can shit on my own government. I can say our own military is trash and that we murdered people in Afghanistan and nobody blinks an eye. But you criticize the Israeli government and all of a sudden you're getting fired from your fucking job. People were like, we're going to get him fired. We're going to get him fired about me. And I was like, joke's on you, bitch. I already don't have a job. But if I did have a job, they were trying to get me fired.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
No, it makes me so happy watching the amount of like every time I see someone like you, Blakely, because when I started seeing your videos, I was very happy and because they're very funny. But I didn't know whether or not you're Jewish. And to me, that's not something that I care about because it's at this point, there's been enough gatekeeping, I think, around, you know, talking about it. But, you know, around people who aren't Jewish, who aren't Palestinian, like this idea of like, you know, you have no right to care about any of this.
Or speak about it.
Yes. First, you must do 50 tweets about the Uyghurs before you can do one tweet about Israel. But I also, I respect it as well because, you know, it's a different level of exposure. It's a different level of risk. You know, I think when you're a Palestinian person or when you're an Arab person, the risk is the highest. And, you know, but I also have noticed a lot more like white American people, white Christians or, you know, just like non-Jewish white people saying stuff about it. And to me, that is like, that takes more bravery than it does for, you know, me or Katie. I mean, I'll speak for myself. Katie, you're brave as well.
Self-loathing Jews.
We're called self-loathing Jews. We're called as Jews. We're called not Jewish enough. We're all of that stuff. But
Capo, I get Capo.
All the time. Yeah.
That's,
you know, it's the same things over and over. But it doesn't stick as much. And so I have been like really heartened by the amount of people who since October 7th and seeing what's going on have educated themselves and done exactly what you've said. Like, I feel like at this point, the writer of 100 Years War on Palestine,
Rashid Khalidi.
Yeah. Man, he's got a, I mean, just from a purely like point of like, he's got to be really happy about his book sales because I think everyone I know has started to read that book. And it's really great, as you know, and learning about, you know, Norman and learning about all these, like, people have been talking about it, people reading Orientalism, Edward Said for the first time. And I just, like, it makes me feel good, because also now this niche political thing that I've been screaming about into the void feels like more understandable. Like, people like get it now. And I'm like, it makes me feel
I realize that crazy. A lot of times they'll say, like, oh, you can't talk about this if you're not from there, because they want to keep it in that propaganda bubble without a lot of people knowing about it.
Yeah.
But I did struggle with it. I mean, because I was like, oh, what can I make videos about? I want to talk about this because it's really important. And, you know, when you learn something new and you get really excited, you want to share about it.
Yeah.
I was like so blown away by how much I didn't know about it that I felt compelled to share, because my audience who I'm speaking to are other stupid, uneducated white Americans like myself.
Yeah.
Uneducated, didn't go to college, like did not have any of that exposure. So I'm talking to my other fellow crackers being like, you need to understand this and learn about this, because you're going to be as blown away by it as I was, I am.
Yeah.
And then also just, you know, making fun of it, just because how can you not? Like, it's so absurd that it's like, and they deserve to be mocked. They deserve to be mocked. I'm sorry. There should be compensation for all three of us for having to sit through that Michael Rapaport.
100%. 100%. It's like, this is like, it's the worst. It's the worst lane, because we have to sit through this bullshit. Like, I didn't want, for years, I was like, oh, I hope someone makes this Hasbara podcast, because I would listen to it.
Yeah.
I was telling people to do it. I was like, do someone do it. And no
you
one was,
did yourself.
And then I finally, like, you know, was like too close to a nervous breakdown not to talk about it. And so I just started it myself. But now I'm stuck watching Lee Kern's wretched ass, you know, just like just saying this racist fucking drivel. You just have to sit there. And
that's the other thing that like really just like strikes me about this whole thing, is that like it's a level of censorship that I have never seen before with any other 100%.
Issue. Yes.
It's a level of vitriol that I have never seen before. So-called liberals like Malcolm Nance going on
oh
and
my
saying
God, the worst.
Openly Islamophobic things about Rashida Tlaib, openly racist Islamophobic
things.
That's
a lie about Jill Stein. Said she worked for like RT.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
never,
like
never
just,
took that, retracted that.
Yeah, just like crazy Islamophobic, anti-Arab, racist shit that no one seems to be like noticing or saying anything about in like mainstream discourse.
Completely.
And next level hate. Like I've gotten hate before, like on things, like when I talked about things, never to this level.
Yeah.
Never to the level that I did once I started talking about this, which between that and the censorship made me want to seek it out more, because I was like, what are you bitches trying to hide?
Yeah.
Well, I want to give you one, if you had time, I want to show one more video.
Yeah.
And Blakely, you, I'm especially interested in your response to this, because this is one of the pinkwashing videos, one of the many pinkwashing videos. So Brad, can we play, I don't remember if I sent you two, but we have a pinkwashing video from this guy.
Not Daniel Ryan Spalding.
Yeah, Daniel Ryan Spalding. Who is he?
He's just a TikToker.
He's a TikTok guy who was like, you know, was doing kitschy power gay stuff where he's like, I'm a power gay. And then he would say something milquetoast. But now he's like, I'm a power gay and I'll suck the IDF's dick.
Yeah, literally, he is one of the groups of people that have been picked up on TikTok by the Israeli lobbies and basically paid to do propaganda for Israel.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, let's take a look at what he has to say.
You're a power gay at the United Nations.
Oh.
You dress conservatively in a turtleneck and tweed because you have to be taken seriously. It's up to you to save the Jews.
Wait, let's rewind it. Let's start from the beginning, because
that opening, though, remind you of Greg Gutfeld with his bad rhyming on his shitty show?
Oh, my God. That's
And also, is he playing white savior for Jews right now? Because again, I want to point out, this guy is not Jewish and is going to spend half of this video fetishizing Jews.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. I don't mind anyone.
I thought he was Jewish.
No, his whole thing is that he wants to. He's just like, what if I sucked a Jewish dick right in front of you, purple hair girl? And you're like, why are you mad at me? This is an Arby's. Like,
also, why do they always have purple hair?
Yes.
Update your talking points. I'm begging you.
Yes.
Yeah. Seriously. That's
purple hair is just this is just anti-trans like code. That's all that
is. It is, but it's also very 2016.
Yeah. No, I know. These guys are like Daily Wire 2014. Yeah.
Yes.
I don't think he's Jewish.
He's not Jewish. Yeah. He's not Jewish. He's just someone whose angle is I like Jewish cock. Which is like, again, I'm pro that. That is pretty much the only way anyone's ever been attracted to me. So I'm pro that. Yeah. If you see someone who's Jewish and you just have a thing for it, go forth and be happy. But like the idea of like wrapping that up into like some sort of like genocidal Zionism is like, so what disgusting. Are you doing?
Yeah, absolutely disgusting. Well, let's take a look at this video. Let's do the UN one.
Power gay at the Stonewall National Monument, all about equality, especially for hot Israeli guys.
No! Wait, let's play from the beginning because it got cut off.
When you're a power gay at the Stonewall National Monument, you're all about equality, especially for hot Israeli guys. Oh, hi, Ilan Levy.
Hello, Daniel Ryan Spalding.
You know, I've been to Israel so many times. I have so many hot gay Israeli friends that I've partied with in Tel Aviv. And I want to say that I love them. And I want to stand up for them against anti-Semitism.
And we need everyone to stand up to anti-Semitism because hate is hate. It's a poison. It erodes society. It never ends well for societies that let it take a hold of them. And you know, Daniel Ryan, I think a lot of Jews in America right now are feeling that they're basically being forced into the closet as Jews, into hiding, because they are being made to feel afraid and ashamed of who they are as Jews, as people who love Israel, and that is never acceptable.
It's not acceptable.
Okay, and can you pause it real quick? This is a personal picadillo I have. I just want to let everyone know, Daniel Ryan Spalding is 5'8", which once again means Ilan Levy is about, I would say, 5'2". And I just want people to know that. I just think it's very important. As someone who is a 6'6" Jew, I want people to know that this is a very little man talking. Please continue.
Short
not
king.
That there's anything wrong with it.
Inextricably linked for decades. Elizabeth Taylor, a Jewish lady, was the only person to stand up and speak out for HIV and AIDS awareness in the 80s. Harvey Milk was Jewish. We have an obligation as gay people to stand up against all forms of prejudice, and that includes anti-Semitism.
Except for Arab prejudice.
You've done more than most Jewish celebrities to speak out for the Jewish community here in America.
Well, what can I say? I'm not some weak-kneed Jew. I'm a power gay, and my knees are built just fine. Stop there.
And that guy, Ilan, is a serial liar. He lied about shooting.
He's the Goebbels of, the Goebbels of Israel. He is their chief propagandist face of the propaganda. And he's called it anti-Semitic every time someone points that out. They're like, how dare you compare me?
But as I've explained on Twitter, it's not because you're Jewish. It's because you're Nazi.
It's because you are a Nazi propagandist.
No one cares that you're Jewish.
You are a genocidal propagandist. You're doing propaganda for a genocide. Goebbels is just the most famous one.
Right. Yeah, you should be flattered. It actually requires a suspension of anti-Semitism to be able to compare a Jew to a Nazi.
Yeah.
If you were anti-Semitic, you wouldn't be able to see that comparison.
Yes.
Yeah, and you know, it's that guy, especially while he's sitting there talking about, you know, like, oh, we're so free and we love this and that. I find it so vile that they're just continually comparing the struggle of just whether it's gay rights, racism, fighting back against hate with anti-Semitism and Israel and Zionism. It's like you saying people should stand up against anti-Semitism and hate in all of its forms, but conflating your disgusting genocidal Zionism with anti-Semitism is just so disgusting. And then trying to make it all cute by like talking about, I don't know, blowjobs with this psychotic propagandist. It's just like,
it's the most white gay man thing too, because like if you watch any of his other videos filled with misogyny, filled with this kind of like, again, it's a very similar type of victim complex where you've got this inverted narrative in which like, because gay men in America are an oppressed class. I mean, gay people in general are, but we're talking gay white men. Right. It's a very specific type of, you know, in the freaking hierarchy of, you know, the gays. And yeah. just like this idea that he's like going to appropriate the entire struggle when there are tons of white, gay, fascist, misogynist, like, he's not breaking any new ground here. Yeah. So it's, it's very similar.
And trying to,
well, we have to,
Harvey Milk.
I know, Harvey Milk. Yeah. And Elizabeth Taylor, that's the best that you can do? Someone who converted after, like, a plane crash or something?
Also, I'm sorry, but Jews are in the closet? This idea of like all Jews are in a way kind of gay.
Which,
like,
again, what are you doing? Which again infuriates me because of the amount they're talking about. They're conflating anti-Semitism with Zionism. But then also they keep saying we stand up against hate in all of its forms as they continually dehumanize Arab people.
Yes.
Yeah.
Every single day. The most vile shit that they say about them. Mm-hmm. They conflate them constantly with Hamas. Mm-hmm. They say, you know, that it doesn't matter. There are no innocent civilians.
Yes. Yeah. Or like they have no choice. They lie about the human shields. Yeah. And then as if they have no choice, like, well, a non-sociopath would say, well, because of that, we can't bomb these people because
let's treat them like we would if there were people inside our territory.
But even when you do that, then they take the mask off and they'll go, oh, well, all of the Palestinians support Hamas.
Right. Yeah. So then it's
they're going to grow up to be terrorists.
Yeah. It's
which even if they did, it's just so stupid. Even if they did, like, I'm sorry, grow the fuck up. People have to deal with governments that they don't like all the time.
Yeah.
Right. Second of all, you're stupid if you think that this is not going to create an entire new generation of Hamas, which
they're not stupid. And they know. Yes.
Yeah.
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 That guy's unreal. Wait, I wanted to see the end of the other one where he's talking about dick sucking.
All right, let's talk about, let's show the UN one.
Our gay. At the United Nations, you dress conservatively in a turtleneck and tweed because you have to be taken seriously. It's up to you to save the Jews. But apparently, I'm not an advocate against anti-Semitism because I'm a good person and care about my Jewish friends. No, no, no. According to the purple-haired girls, I'm just pinkwashing. Pinkwashing. Another way to say your gay opinion doesn't matter. Listen up, hot gay guys. It's up to us to stand up to these purple-haired girls, or else next year, you're not going to Tel Aviv Pride. And that's fine by me. I'll enjoy all that Israeli cock by myself. Muscle dick, hardcore Jewish dick, IDF dick. I'm gonna get so much Jewish jizz, it'll be like I'm floating in the Dead Sea. I'm gonna spend my pride with the hottest gay guys in the world, sucking dick and eating hummus.
Just a stream
and you're
of
gonna be stuck with a bunch of 20-year-olds in slumpy sweaters doing spoken word poetry about colonialism. Enjoy. Hashtag pinkwashing.
There's just so much rage. The thing is like the videos he makes, I've never seen a more clearly mad guy. It's like he just got into an argument with someone and he's like, and then he makes a video and it's like, you're still, I can see your blood pressure, bro.
Right. Kind of like a Michael Rapaport.
Yeah, yeah. Aesthetics. But he has the decency to be mad in public.
Openly. Openly.
Yeah, yeah. With lots of fucking. But like the thing about this guy too, like I said, that drives me crazy is that he's literally going in detail about wanting people to jizz on his face. And if that were anyone else, their shit would be taken down. They would be banned.
Yeah. Yeah.
But these people just like go on and on and on. This guy like, I'm like, wait, what?
Yes. Meanwhile, I am like shadow banned on TikTok. Like I can't make a video anymore for TikTok because they all like, they just all are like 1,000 views or something like that. And when I started making these videos, they were taking off and I was like, cool. And now, Borat talked to the main guy and he said, no, anti-Zionism. Yeah. But like, yeah, you know, listen, it's just like this lane of pink washing is so inaccessible that you just kind of go like, I literally don't know who this is for. Like, I don't know who is,
poofy. Being convinced by this audience.
It's for a segment of people in Tel Aviv who are like, yes, thank you. And that's it. And it's like, listen, you know, you have your audience and stuff, but this is, this just seems like something you talk to your therapist about.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, definitely.
He wants to drown in jizz. I get it.
Seriously, yeah, yeah. We've all been there.
We've all been there. Right? Listen,
I don't make that into Hasbara.
Yeah, you know.
I don't be sex negative or anything.
No, listen. Go for it. Live your truth.
Go for the Dead Sea of jizz. But
yeah, but if part of your truth is just like being openly genocidal towards a group of people,
that's the problem that I'm not positive about.
Yeah, it's just like, you know.
First of all, that is it. That's what people need to understand. Who among us doesn't like Jewish dick? We all do. We've all been there.
Yeah.
But
hell yeah.
But when you're using that as a pretext for your genocide.
Right. Yeah.
That's not the way you're supposed to be using Jewish dick. That's
Which goes back to the pink washing. I am so tired of these lunatics doing things like, look at that IOF soldier. Look at what a queen as they tie up innocent Palestinian men.
Yeah.
Yes, queen.
Yes.
Wear the lingerie, Palestinian women's lingerie.
Yes. Yeah. And then you call it out and they're like, wow, kink shame much? And it's like, what are you for?
Yeah.
Right. And I don't know if this is for people in Tel Aviv to kind of feel better about the genocide, or if it's for white liberals in America.
I think it's aimed towards white liberals, but I can't, I mean, you know, white liberals, by and large, I'm sure they will fall for it because at the end of the day, they're liberals and that's what they do. They fall for words. But like, you know, I just can't imagine how effective it is when it's at this point so dystopian. Like, there's a level of dystopian where you're just like, no amount of like cutesy gay friendly genocide is going to stop me from like crying when I see a dead baby. You know what I mean? Like at some point you do have to just hide. And I have been seeing more and more people delete their post October 7th tweets and or IG posts, and I'm going to make a little episode about that. Bad Hasbara.
I hope we have screenshots.
We have screenshots. Me and a former guest of my other podcast is going to come on. We're going to talk about that because it's like the shit that people were writing was insane, and the shit that people are deleting makes me. It's like the end of Inglourious Basterds where I'm like, no, you're living with this. Right. You're fucking living with this.
Shout out to Anat Schwartz.
Yeah, seriously.
And unfortunately, it's too bad that Quentin Tarantino's shit on this issue.
I'm sure he is.
Yeah, but, he's terrible. I think he's married to an Israeli.
Yeah. Oh, my God. So
don't quote me on that, but I believe.
I just hope that Tom York, you know, I don't know. I feel like Radiohead's bad on this issue too, and I just
it's okay. It's everybody that you thought that you liked. Okay, I saw that Timothy Chalamet apparently is a Zionist, which was very sad. But we got to
verify because there's a lot of things going around that.
Sometimes people just say stuff, and I want to. Yeah.
Like I saw a video of all these celebrities, and some of them are incorrect. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I think I know what you're referring to. It was like a slide, like a TikTok slide.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, Brad wants to say something. It's time for Brad to show a very short video that he created for just for occasions like these.
Mm. Oh my God.
That's so great.
Brad, I need.
You're a terrible person. That's really great.
Do you work freelance or on commission? Because I'm going to need you to make some shit.
Absolutely. But I just wanted to add, I got this on my birthday. It was a very wonderful birthday present. He got the message.
Yeah. So Elon tweeted out a screenshot of that, or someone actually posted this video without crediting you, Brad, or the Katie Halper show. So I had to correct him. But it got out there. And then Elon Levy wrote, I love the fact that someone went to the effort of making this, giving it to my siblings as a new favorite gift for the family WhatsApp group.
To which I am of the opinion, this got under his skin.
Oh, he's so mad about it. There's
no way he would have written it that if it didn't bother him.
In my family group chat, do you like share in between sharing massacred photos?
Exactly. Yeah, right. Yeah,
that you ran over.
Yeah. Sometimes I miss the gift. The group chat is mostly just women's fucking underwear from Gaza.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Well, I love that. I think it's hilarious. I actually saw it. I didn't realize that you were made it or that had anything to do with the show. No, because you weren't credited. I just saw it. Somebody had posted it and it cracked me up.
You know, now I get why Lee Kern put his name at the end of that shitty sketch.
Yeah, exactly. Now I understand. Yeah. Yeah.
I can't believe how many people were on. I still cannot believe how many people were on.
Well, again, you don't just step into that. You don't step in it. You know, that requires a lot of talent coordination, a lot of rewrites.
And someone, yes, and someone.
The prop work for the ship.
Yeah.
And somebody told Michael Rapaport that he's funny.
Yeah. Listen, I'm going to be honest, full disclosure here. I have featured for Michael Rapaport at two comedy clubs in the past. Like, this was obviously before all this. And this is back when his thing was just calling people Dick Stain Donald Trump. And, you know, like working with him, I was like, oh, cool. It's the guy from Boston Public. And, you know, and I was like, oh, I didn't even know you were like a comedian or whatnot. And he kind of just started doing it, you know, recently. And, you know, it showed. But I will say that the funniest moment was at the Sacramento Punchline, the very last show. He had his first heckler, and I've never seen a man crumble as much as he crumbled. He was shocked that someone would talk during his set. And it was like a level of like overconfidence where I was just like, oh yeah, no, that's like, that's part of, you'll learn that. Well, you would have learned it if you had ever started stand up as not already a famous person. I put famous in big quotes, but you know.
Yeah, we're using famous loosely here.
Very loosely. But yeah, so like when he started going insane with all this stuff, you know, at first I was like, you know, I was like, I'm not touching that yet. I felt a little bit of like this is someone who I've worked with in the past. We'll see where it goes. He seemed like he might be not a dumb piece of shit. And then recently, the only time he's tweeted at me was he just, he called me Clownzo.
Oh my God.
Nailed it.
Yeah. So funny. And I was just like, what is that, like Bozo the Clown? You wanted to make it one word? And at that point, I realized, I was like, all right, game on. Fuck him.
Yeah. Well, and it showed when he doesn't have someone providing the script or ideas, and even though those were bad, but when that's not even there, that's when you get that. I hesitate to call it a song.
Oh yeah,
you know, but like that.
I wish there were credits for that one too.
I know. Yes. Yeah, no, they were robbed.
It's like the end of the Matrix. You're like, why is this 25 minutes?
Well, do you want to see? You want to see what Rappaport tweeted about me? Besides coming in my mentions with the shit, with the Hamas shit thing, I'll do a screen share of this. I was looking for that tweet today, so I did Michael Rappaport. I did a Twitter search, like at Michael Rappaport : Katie Helps. And this is what came up. Okay, so he tweeted this. I wrote, Brianna Wu and Michael Rapaport are such great unintentional spokespeople for anti-Zionism. Thank you for your accidental service. And then he tweeted this out as if, I guess the idea is like, I don't mean to sound vain, but I guess it's just like, look at this girl, this ugly bitch and her dog. I don't know if that's what it's supposed to be. Cause like,
hold on. How many, can you scroll down to the hearts? He got nothing on that?
Yeah. Abby Martin, imagine thinking this is an own, you Neanderthal. Look at those cuties making me love Kate even more. OMFG, you're stupid, lol. Yeah, this is funny, which I'm not above admitting I like. Yeah, she's pretty and you're a guy who got arrested multiple times for stalking and terrorizing his ex. What's your point?
This one.
Katie's still waiting for you to host the great debate. Michael Rapaport versus Norman Finkelstein, make it happen. What am I missing? Can I see what, yeah.
Michael legit was like, I want to debate Norman Finkelstein.
Oh, let him.
This is exactly what I meant when I said the nerve and the delusion of this guy to be tweeting out about your appearance, talking about your, that was meant to be like, oh yeah, Look at your photo.
And the thing is,
it's a nice photo.
Bodhi is so cute, my parents' dog. But also, like, there are a lot of unflattering. There are pictures that if he did that to, I'm not going to lie. I look terrible and I'd be so upset. That one is just like it's nice enough for me to think it should be my Twitter pic.
No, I'm totally with you.
It sounds like I'm being like, please tell me how pretty I look in that picture. There's a lot of unflattering, like, you grab me on this show, you can grab an ugly thing. Like, just do a little, but again, it's that confidence.
But usually when people do that, they pick a photo like that where it's like, you don't even need to comment, you just post it and it speaks for itself.
Right,
It was a totally nice photo.
Okay, but that also goes to, again, how fucking stupid he is and not funny he is that, yes, that is like an objectively good photo of you. So if he was going to do that, then he should have tried to go, I don't know, find a photo of you making a wacky face to a podcast. Yeah. But he's like, oh yeah, here's your profile picture. Yeah.
No,
these people are such goons that someone actually did a thing of that. And like, look at Katie Halper. Nobody wants me, so I have to have a dog. And then I was like, my dog is cuter. Like, the guy was like so unattractive. I was like,
nobody wants me, so I have to have a dog. Just the saddest read on pet ownership I've ever seen.
It really is. I know, it really is. It's like, I feel so bad for the dogs in his life. But so then I was like, she's like, no one wants me, so I have to get a Shih Tzu. And I was like, she's actually Lhasa Apso, and she's cuter than you. And then he tweets like, she looks like she just got pulled out of the rubble in Gaza, which is just
oh my God.
Who, like, I was like, you're such a, I mean, I'm not surprised because these people are genocidal.
Oh,
monsters,
yeah, they don't care.
Like, and then he had like a smiley, you know, when those, haha, like I made up like crying at my own joke.
Right.
But like, and he was some weird Canadian racist, but like, I was just like, you are such a monster. You're making fun of a cute little dog. And even with then, there are lots of photos of Bodhi where she looks like a hot mess. And she, you know, you can make fun of that, but she looks very cute in that photo.
He was posting that picture, not not because, you know, you looked bad in it, but it's because he hates women.
Yeah, I guess.
And he was just like, you're a woman.
Right.
Look at this picture of this female.
Yeah, that's literally it.
Is the dog a girl?
Yeah.
Two bitches in one?
Yes, yeah.
I just wanted to leave you guys with, there's a 10 seconds that palate cleanser from all of the bullshit we've been watching.
I love palate cleanser.
It's not new to you, I'm sure, but...
You know, this whole crap with this cancel culture and the... Shut up! Shit! Shut the fuck up! Nobody wants to hear it.
Fucker.
You've been talking all fucking week. You don't care what you have to say. Just stop talking.
You got me right in my fucking head, asshole.
Stop.
Damn it.
That guy deserves a Nobel Peace Prize.
Yeah. Someone told me that was like planned or staged.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No, I don't know. I don't know. Because, you know, people on Twitter say
he should
all
get
the time.
Like, whoever did that should be given Palestinian citizenship.
No, but like that video actually made me really happy.
Yeah,
like so happy when I first saw it. I was like, you know what? I don't even care if it was.
Yeah, it feels better to live with, like, you know, even if he did make it, it's nice to just see him get hit with something.
Yes.
And, you know,
exactly.
It's like you just live, you know, live with the fantasy. It's like,
yeah.
I don't care that Pete and Boz probably faked. I don't know if you guys know the old drill rappers from the UK, Pete and Boz, who are they're fantastic. I think it's not real, but I don't care. I live with the fantasy. Shout out to Pete and Boz out there. Free Palestine.
Well, thanks for having me on, Katie.
Yeah, thank you. And thank you so much, Blakely and Matt. And definitely come back. This was so much fun.
Oh, yeah,
this was fun. Thank you for having me.
Really fun. Yeah. Thank you for having me. And if you want more... listen to Bad Has Barra, the world's most moral podcast.
Yeah,
it's a lot of fun. And Katie, we're gonna have you on soon.
Oh, great!
And
I'd love that.
We're going to also have you on the pod yourself, The Wire, too.
Nice. All right.
Yes, and that's.
Can we make fun of the bad accents?
Oh, that's mostly what we do.
Okay, yeah.
No one can
Stringer
get it
Bell
right.
Is good though. Stringer Bell is good.
Yeah, yeah, he did. I mean, he didn't do a regional accent. He just did like a generic black guy accent.
Right.
But he, at the very least, I didn't know he was British.
Yeah, exactly.
Whereas that's Dominic West as McNulty,
I know.
You're like, what's going on, bro?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I'm gonna find both of those and listen to them. And you can find me at that little screen name on both Twitter and Instagram, on YouTube and on TikTok. It's that, but without the underscore. It's just I am Blakely.
Okay.
But yeah, I would love to do this again sometimes, you guys. It was
very
fun. Thank you again for having me on.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys.
Free Palestine.
Yeah,
free Palestine. Love all y'all. Sacramento, March 17th. Come out, please. Please. Don't make my last memory be with Michael Rappaport. Sacramento Punch. All right, bye.
Thanks again for listening to The Katie Helper Show. If you like the show, please join the Patreon at patreon.com/The Katie Helper Show. Again, that's patreon.com/The Katie Helper Show. Please leave us a 5-star review on iTunes. And as always, we remind you that this show could not happen without the support of our listeners. Our show is produced by me, Katie Helper. Brad Bloom is our audio engineer and an associate producer on the show. Our researcher is Joshua Bregman. And our theme song is by the band Cordova. See you next time.